Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
And welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I am your co-host for this evening. If you're listening in the evening, that's when we are recording, is the evening. Cameron Collins, and I am here with Nicholas Biella, who...
Hello, hello.
Yeah, coming from an abandoned soccer match, not something you see very often.
No, that was a weird, scary moment for the rain game tonight against Racing Louisville.
Yeah, let's talk about it. But first, I think you deserve a beer.
You know, I do. It's a day. Let me do that.
Nice.
How about you? What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm just drinking root beer. I'm nothing fancy, and it's already open, and I only have one can, so no fancy sounds from me today. I guess I could pretend I'm drinking the whiskey again.
Ooh,
that was nice.
That was cartoonish.
Yeah.
What are you wearing? What is that jersey?
Oh, it's a team from, I believe it's from Chile, marking the 50th anniversary of the time they went to Cuba and played a game. So it's the Cuban flag, and then it's got Che Guevara,
yeah. Right there. Okay, that looks like something you'd see at a random merch stand on the streets of some small village.
Just got an email saying $109 Washington, Ohio State tickets in tonight. I'm not paying $109.
Saw that.
The Huskies get their ass beat by Ohio State.
You
might
saw that
because
as well.
You prefer Ohio State, but
no. No, I do not prefer Ohio State. Ohio State are my second favorite team. Don't get me wrong. I'm married into Huskies. Matter of fact, by the time some people are listening to this episode, I will have been married 10 years.
Wow.
My anniversary is coming up this week.
Well, my parents just had their 49-year anniversary.
Nice. My parents hit 50 this spring. So
that's awesome. Very cool. I'm at zero. So if anyone would like to get married, you know where to find me. We can make it
start
happen.
The clock.
Yeah.
Start the clock.
I mean, I figure I've got at least, I could make it to like if I got married tomorrow, I could probably make it to 40 anniversaries, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we can work on it. Yeah.
So yeah, rain match
to talk about, but let's start there because it's a pretty unique situation, I think.
Yeah, just a really random thing. I mean, unfortunately, like the rain, we're getting housed pretty good in the first half. Racing Louisville were 10 shots to Seattle's 3. But right around stoppage time of the first half, the Racing Louisville center mid, Savannah DeMello, goes down. And no one saw contact. No one saw injury from us on the around us in the stands. And one of my friends who normally goes to the games, but we're watching from TV, like, we didn't see anything happen.
Seizure.
Is that where it came out? Because I know she, I do know that she had something similar happen previously, and that she has Graves' disease. Last time this happened, found out. But yeah, it just seems like something went really, really wrong. The ambulance was there. She was down on the field for probably about 15 minutes.
Jeez.
You know, 15 minutes before they carted her away. So.
And she's up and doing well. So.
That's good.
Looks like everything worked out. But I think it probably was the right thing to stop the match. Is Bethany Balser playing for them?
She was not playing today. I don't remember seeing her in the lineup.
It looks like she was in town though, because I'm now seeing a picture of her with Sofia Huerta. So she's still on the team. I remember when they traded her to there, she was like, I don't know, what am I going to do in Louisville? That's crazy. Yeah. So what was the score at the time that the match was suspended?
It was zeros.
Okay. So it sounds like they will, at a later date, they were scheduled at a later date, just the second half of the match. So it'll only be played, I suppose, if it's needed.
Maybe we'll see. I mean, yeah, so Balser was in the 18 for Racing Louisville. Interestingly enough, did you know that their coach is Beverly Yanez?
I don't know who that is.
Former Rain player.
Oh. Was it Hope Solo days or after?
Right around later than that, I think.
Yeah, see, I was an early Rain fan, and then I didn't pay attention for a little bit. And then once I moved from Tacoma back to Seattle, I started actually watching again.
Okay. But yeah, she was with the Rain from 2014 to 2019. So
okay, yeah, it was
right.
I was
in that
time.
Well, that was still Hope. That was the end of Hope Solo.
Yeah,
because that was still, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know her. That's cool. Wow, this is interesting that Twitter's just posting false information on still on the political assassination, if you want to call it that. This past weekend, we won't talk about it. Obviously, it's outside the scope of this, or not this weekend, but whenever it was this week, outside the scope of this podcast, but. I'm not on Twitter, as we know. Anyone who listened to the last episode of the Ultras, they talked about how I'm still suspended for getting hacked, which seems like a stupid reason not to be able to use my account. And I even wrote them and sent them all my information. But so how are the Rain doing lately? I mean, I feel like early on they looked good, but they just couldn't really
get it. Well, they're together. Still a young. I mean, they're still trying to figure it out. I think trading away Balser and making some moves to try and get themselves back to where they were, but it's tough to do when you lose a legend. But they're currently in mid-table. They're 7th out of 14.
Yeah.
So right on the playoff line, ironically enough, with Racing Louisville. Louisville's in eighth, 1 point behind them. So today was an important match. But Racing Louisville was really looking good.
Seven wins, seven draws, and six losses. Yeah, I mean, early on, I went to all those games with you. And then I just, as the summer has gone on, there's been too much going on. I haven't been able to watch them as much as I would like. I follow their scores, but it's one thing to see the score, and it's another thing to realize where they are in the standings. I feel like, despite the fact they're higher in the standings, they do feel like they're having a similar season to the Sounders pre-Club World Cup.
That's not entirely inaccurate from... Yeah, I would say it's not entirely inaccurate.
Talent, you're just not seeing all the wins that you'd hope to get. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, yeah, there's other. So today, Salt Lake made a statement. This was, is it 2 p.m.? They removed a Make America Great Again hat from a fan, and they have apologized to the fan and invited him and his family back to attend Real Salt Lake matches in the future. Of course, this is a fan who...
Fan, I don't even know if that's the exact...
It's just correct. Someone who was at the match who added professors to the Charlie Kirk database that needed to be killed and tweeted that he was going to kill them, has also used the N-word in tweets. Multiple times. I'm seeing a ton of them here. So maybe don't just put out statements before realizing who you're talking about.
Yeah. Calling fans, calling players by racial slurs.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised given RSL's history and the fact that they played America First Field.
We've known multiple people that have come from that organization, and all of them have nothing but the greatest things to say about that organization. Ugh. Yeah. It's too bad. Salt Lake has apparently become one of the coolest cities in America, despite everything that you would think goes on there. I think it has created this huge undercurrent of just awesome underground, like, music and art and culture that some cities don't have, and so it's too bad.
I just feel bad for Yedlin, who's there.
Is that where he is now?
Yeah.
Oof, I forgot where he went, but
So I mean, this is the same guy who tweeted "fuck you" racial slur, N-word. Send every last foreign player home.
Yeah.
That's a direct tweet from this fan.
Yeah. That's one of the ones I was referencing. It's pretty bad. Like, maybe we don't.
I don't really want to give more. You know what? Here's the thing. I will say this. This is what we're up against. This is why the Sounders I have a fan base who has always Seattle, anti-fascist, anti-racist, always Seattle. This is why you have a fan base whose TIFO yesterday at the game was a TIFO in Spanish using butterflies in support and solidarity of our immigrant community. This is why we fight our fight to make sure that it's clear from the get-go that racism, intolerance is not going to be acceptable here. Yeah. And I'm very proud of that.
And the Sounders are very supportive of that as well, which is great. I don't think we'd be supporting the team otherwise.
It would be heartbreaking for me to have something like this happened from the club.
And it's not to say they've never made missteps, but it's been a while since they've had one that egregious.
Okay, so here is the level of missteps that we have regarding something like that. Last year, the club uses Latinx instead of Latino or Latina for their pronouns in the not the pronouns, but the
description. Yeah, which
description, which
is unfair to them because that is a ongoing.
It's a widely used, but it also
within people from that culture, those cultures as well. So it's much different than what happened.
Yeah, but part of that, the club listens. The club brings together a group to have open discussions about how they can be better aware and do things better. And that led to things like the Vamos Sounders Club. And that leads to things like these true measurable impacts that don't feel like the equivalent of, oh, it's Pride Month, so I guess we'll put the rainbow banner for a month and then take it down for the another 11 months. You know, it doesn't feel tokenism. Or cancel it. Feels legit.
Cancel it because it's raining like they do in Dallas.
Yeah. So it's really, I'm really proud of the club always trying to evolve and always trying to learn. But it's just such a bummer when this happens around the league, because believe it or not, I really like the league. I want the league to be really good. And here's a great example of that. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, I spent a good amount of time with a whole bunch of LA Galaxy supporters who were up and down. You were on their podcast, in fact, last week.
Yeah.
So some of them, Edgar reached out to me, knowing that his co-host Eddie was coming up. And I'm like, yeah, send them my way, give them my contact information. I'll show them around the city. We'll have some fun times. Spent all afternoon on Friday doing some touristy stuff and checking out some of the local haunts. We met up pregame on Saturday, had a really good get together at Flatstick Pub. We had good conversations with fellow Sounders fans and just all of us having a great time talking soccer and just having a really fun time. Game, you know, the game was what it was. We'll talk about the game in a bit. Yeah. But these are the things that make this soccer community so great. And I want to thank all of the Scuttlebutt listeners that were there either at Flatstick or, you know, who had interactions with them before, after the game. And, you know, I thought we represented really well. And, thank you very much for Eddie and Tony and the group for coming on up and coming out to see our city.
Yeah. Good times. I wish I had been feeling better so I could have partaken in the festivities that, I mean, I did watch the game. I probably should have just stayed home in the end, but yeah. Have you, changing topics slightly because we'll get to that, have you ever read the book Among the Thugs by Bill Buford?
I have not, and I'm sorry you caught me just as I was trying to get another sip of a drink. I have not. Why don't you summarize for us?
So it's a book that I read in high school and college, and then I'm currently listening to it. And it was basically Bill Buford was living in England and decided he wanted to write about what it was like. Why was there fan culture and lad culture leading to violence in England? You know, he's from the United States. To this day, for the most part, when you go to a game, you have your seat, right? And you're going to go sit in your seat. And that's how it goes. Like, that wasn't, I mean, even when I lived in Paris, that was not the case in Paris. It was in England, in London when I went, but in Paris, you just kind of sat near your seat. You got shoved down a lot. We had to run from the police because they were throwing tear gas, even though we didn't do anything. We were just walking. So I think the crackdown on fan culture happened a lot longer ago. I mean, later there, I should say, But Bill Buford followed him around, and he follows around originally the Manchester United fans and the English national team fans, and then a little bit of West Ham, and then just goes to a bunch of other clubs and talks to people and ends up spending time with the National Front and just like trying to figure out why is this culture so dedicated to violence. And I'm right at the end now, and it's culminating in the 1990 World Cup and a clash that occurred there. But he didn't go to, but was listening to on the radio in the FA Cup semifinal in 89 when the Hillsborough disaster happened. And yeah. I mean, I've read the book twice. I know all about the Hillsborough disaster anyway.
There's a great documentary about that as well on ESPN,
one, yeah. which they can't show in England because they don't have the same First Amendment there. So you get sued if you give a lot
of like a libel.
Yep. A lot of the information in there, although accurate, they will not let you do because the government will sue you for going after the police. But it's the way he writes.
Actually, real quick, it wasn't initially allowed. It has subsequently been
been for quite some time. It was, I mean,
correct. It was for a few years. Yeah. For a few years, yeah. Yeah. But sorry, go ahead.
So his description of what happens there is so brutal and so heart wrenching and beautiful in the prose he's using, not in what's happening, and it's just. It's this really fascinating look at this culture that I think a lot of United States soccer supporters lionize and make seem like it's super cool. And I don't think it is. And, you know, and that's not saying I don't like supporter culture, but the violent aspects of it. And I think for the most part, Sounders fans don't fall into this. So I'm thankful that we have a club like that. But that's just not to say there aren't fans who don't try to start fights. There aren't fans. I mean, even something like
they're individuals can be on an individual basis can be assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
groups.
And I don't, and there's still things I don't like. Like, I mean, I'm not in charge, so I'm never going to change it. But like the no one likes us, we don't care chant that came from Millwall. Millwall fans chanted that during the moment of silence for people who died in the Hillsborough disaster. So to me, that's something that no one should ever be saying in the stadiums. Like, that's fucked up. But I'm not in charge. I don't make chants. We do different stuff in Gorilla FC. So there's stuff like that that I think is kind of silly. And I hate the Mockney stuff because it kind of makes us a laughingstock around the world with other fans, cultures in the United States. I'm not saying us as fans. I'm saying across the United States, the Mockney stuff that fans do.
Can you give me an example?
Who are ya? Who are ya? Like, okay, why are we talking in a mock Cockney accent? We're Americans, stuff like that. So, but it is very interesting. And
would you prefer?
Who are you? Yeah. Even though that's also British. Yes.
Yeah, I know. But
but we claimed it was CSI. So that's now our song.
Is that the same song?
Or do they have a different?
Right. I think they're definitely no, because that's Who Won't Get Fooled Again.
They did. CSI. They use multiple. Right, yeah. They use the Who on multiple CSI shows.
But now, with that all in mind, yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. Supporter culture is. I love supporter culture. I love the things I love about it are. Things like this weekend, getting to hang out with other people who love soccer, who are passionate as us, who also run podcasts, who are also very involved. Yeah. And Jerry ended up being in our group as well. Jerry, one of our colleagues on the Alliance Council, also a very, very passionate soccer fan. And so we all just, it was just great. It's like going traveling for a concert and you're all fans of the same band.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in this particular case, we're all fans of the same sport, but then we maybe have different, you know, oh, I like this album more than that album, yeah. I guess.
I mean, it's funny. Weird analogy. I would generally not, you know, there's other MLS teams I do not like and I would not associate with their fans in general. But like, I mean, I wouldn't not, but you know what I mean? Like if there's a whole group of them, I wouldn't go up and be like, hey, what's up, guys? But if I'm somewhere outside of Seattle and I see another MLS fan, I will always, it's like if I see someone wearing like my college sweatshirt because there's not a lot of people around here that went to Santa Clara.
Yeah.
If I'm in Bay Area, that's a different story. But, you know, it's suddenly you see MLS fans, you're like, oh, what's up? What's up, fellas?
Yeah, and especially if neither of you are in the right. city of the teams that are right. being repped. So exactly. if we're in Denver and you see someone wearing a LAFC shirt, yeah. you know, I'm just throwing a name out there.
In Vegas, I often run into other MLS fans, and I'm always talking to them. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it's been a while, but Punk Rock Bowling, especially, there would always be some cool people there from yeah. that support other teams. And that's the other thing. There's some great supporter groups around this league. You know, including, and I hate to say this, including Timbers Army. I don't like a lot of the stuff that I don't like some of the people that run it. I don't like a lot of stuff they do, but I also really like some of the people that run some parts of it. You know what I mean? Like that just because they're an opposing team doesn't mean they're a bad person.
Yeah. I mean, Tony from LA Galaxy, he designs these really awesome enamel pins and his cousin makes them up. They're Simpsons related, and each one in the series has like a different Simpsons character holding a different one of the trophies they've won in their history. Cool. And they looked really great, you know, and I know Timbers Army do a really good merchandise line of stuff for them. We all have things that we do really well, and I will always respect that kind of stuff, but I have no respect for things like what went down in RSL yeah, yesterday.
Absolutely.
So I have no respect for Miami fans coming to start a fight. I have no respect for I'm gonna lay that.
We talked about the fights outside. We didn't talk yeah. about the fact that there were Miami fans in the stadium trying to start fights that were stopped.
Now, I didn't see that report, but I do know that we generally do not have problems with fighting in Seattle.
No, but ECS security stopped several fights back behind you during that match.
Well, I know we are always not allowing opposing colors yeah. in.
Absolutely.
You know, it's okay if you're wanting to take in a game in the supporters section and you're not a Sounders fan, you're just not allowed to wear colors of the other teams. You're not allowed to, you know, openly support the other team in our section. That's, you just don't do that. I wouldn't go into another supporter section wearing Sounders colors. That's not how
I mean,
works.
Even when I used to go up and go to Raiders games when I lived in the Bay Area against the Seahawks, I wasn't wearing Seahawks clothes in that stadium because that entire stadium was like a supporter section. You were going to get your ass beat. And so,
especially in certain eras of that, yeah. of those.
So teams, they yeah. knew, I was in my section that I was a Seahawks fan, and I was probably harder on the Seahawks than they were because I'm a Seattle sports fan. So, but yeah, I mean, totally. So be smart, don't be stupid, and everything should work out.
I will say I had way more to, like, I did not bring Roma to this game. And I had way more to drink than I normally do. So I was having a rough go of it at Pub League this morning.
How early was your game?
8 o'clock.
Yeah. And I struggled to get to my 12:50. I guess we didn't start till 1:10, but 12:50's time.
Yeah. It was a little rough, but, we won the game. I was in goal, 1-0. Nice. And then we lost the game where I was in the field, 1-0. So
good. We lost both my games. First game I was forward. Second game I moved back to defender, played center back and right back. First game was not fun. Yeah. There's someone who was on our opposing team that is too good for Pub League, and it was the least fun game that I've ever played in Pub League. Like every game was like that, I wouldn't come back. Thankfully, every game is not like that. In fact, the one after it was more fun.
Interesting.
But the person doesn't have the the stamina to be able to play up in Premier. So we're kind of in the middle. There's that little weird middle ground, you know?
Where it's like, okay, maybe you're not allowed to play in an attacking phase.
Well, that's the problem. He played defense instead of attacking phase. And when he plays when he's an attacker, and I used to play defense, I could shut him down every time. But now that he's in defense, we could not get the ball past him. We couldn't do anything. It was one of the most frustrating games I've ever played. Like, he would just steal the ball and spin around and go, like, doing spin moves and kickbacks and all these other things. Like, it was very frustrating.
Okay.
But, you know, it's that's the nice thing about the league is you kind of figure out and people can talk to, you know, if someone's playing too well, it's like, okay, tamp it down a little bit because there's people who are first timers. And there were several first timers out there today who had a great time, which is the beauty of Pub League.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm very pleased with the way our jerseys came out. That's for sure.
Nice. Y'all were the morning games, so I did not see them. And I did not see anyone wearing them once I got there, but I was happy with mine too. Oh, you got it behind you?
Yeah, I do. We just have that right there.
It's perfect for an audio medium podcast.
So we are Fallout themed and we are the Wasteland Wanderers. I designed that. I designed the kit to look like a Vault Tech suit.
With a beer.
Yeah.
Vault 111. So, is everyone 111 or does people get to choose?
No, I went 111. I also have a Fallout Vault suit track suit that I bought for cheap on Amazon. So that's like my warm up stuff. And I got a fun beanie that I wear for the games.
Let me see if I can.
Yeah, you got yours?
No, but what I do have, do you see back there next to my mic? That is an entire.
I see it. Yeah, the power
armor. Power armor helmet.
T60 helmet.
And I also have the gun that comes with it next to it. So
very nice.
Maybe you need to not play in it, but wear it to one of the.
Well, so I bought a whole bunch of Nuka-Cola caps.
Oh, nice.
And a cap tin as well. So basically what I'm doing is as a way to celebrate the team is at the end of each game, almost like pride stickers or spirit stickers, every goal or assist that someone gets, they get a cap. And then I also give them out for, you know, good play that players have had. So trying to make sure that by the end of the year, everyone on the team has a few caps and, you know, just another way to make the league and to make the team more fun.
So let me ask you something.
Vault
111 is from the year 2287. So after this last Sounders match, this looked like an unimpressive team because they did not have Pedro, who doesn't belong in the top 4 or 5 in the West and is going to get an early exit from the playoffs. Since you're from the future, is it just because we were tired or we came in thinking we were better than LA Galaxy, the worst team in the league, you know, where we played down their level? Or do we turn it around and win the MLS Cup?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you exactly about that. And you know when I'm going to tell you that?
After a break?
Right after these breaks, yes. Right after this message.
We'll be back. Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay. And we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. Shout out to your Seattle Seahawks on becoming the first team to beat Aaron Rodgers, playing for both the Packers, the Jets, and the Steelers. I mean, all three teams he's played for, as they won today. And the Mariners for winning their ninth in a row, now alone in first place. What is happening right now in Seattle?
That's a hell of a flex. Do you think
the Mariners got good, and that's why the Sounders did not win the game? That we can't have both things good at the same time?
I am not betting on the Mariners. I'm not betting on the Mariners. Just that simple.
And 12 games left.
When they eventually win it all, then I will gladly say congratulations, I was wrong. Until they do that, I am not ever going to get my hopes up.
Yep, that makes sense to me. I mean, Blue Jays, who'd you root for growing up?
Honestly, it was a wide variety of teams. The early 90s, or the late 80s, it was the New York Mets.
Those were fun teams.
That 86 team was what kind of the first baseball team that I ever followed. So the Keith Hernandez, Dwight Gooden,
Mookie Wilson. Hernandez
was the coach, I believe.
Davey, what was his last name? The manager's died this week.
Yeah. Dave Hernandez, right?
Johnson.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. I think he was a player manager too. I miss player managers, including in soccer. Wouldn't it be great to see Schmetzer out there playing right now? Number 25 running around. Which, another question real quick for you before we get into the game. Christian Roldan got called up to the U.S. national team, wore number 24. I've not seen any interviews about it with him. Do you think he chose that because of Griffey?
No, I think he chose it because he was the last person called up, and that was the...
I mean, but there's going to be a million numbers.
I don't know.
You could have picked any number.
Well, maybe.
It wasn't taken, so...
Maybe.
I wonder.
Maybe.
I wonder.
Honestly, you know why he might have chose it?
What?
His co-captain, Stephen Fry. Like maybe he wanted to, you know, I don't know. Who the hell knows?
Sounders played against LA Galaxy.
Yeah, so first off, prediction challenge. Let's go over that.
Yeah.
So we do have a sole winner. And of course, the sole winner just so happens to not be on the podcast today. Aaron wins, and you know, it's one of those rare wins for him. So I would have loved for him to take his victory lap.
Did he pick a draw?
I could look that up, but he's the only he must have.
I had picked it 2-1, so I was on my way to winning until the late goal. Yeah, it was rough. I also picked Moose to score, and he had the assist. He didn't get that shot. And I was like, come on, shoot the ball, Moose.
Actually, just a quick reminder, you do have, actually, before our next episode airs, you have until the 19th to sign up for the World Cup ticket lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep this in mind. I was looking at the terms and conditions because I was curious. Like, shocker, I looked at the terms and conditions. Shocking. But you need a Visa card to sign up. Yeah. However, it does not need to be the same Visa card you use to pay if you get selected. So if you're trying to balance your checkbooks or your credit cards, debt and whatever, just make sure you sign up. The other thing is it's only one per household. So you cannot have multiple people within the same mailing address sign up. Do you have to be 18 or older, just as a heads up there?
Yeah, maybe I should have my dad sign up. I signed up live during the NAG podcast the other day, the LA Galaxy podcast that I was on. So that was the news across the galaxy. They told me about it, and I'm not on social media anymore right now. And so I was like, whoa, okay, I'll sign up. And it was instant for me, no waiting. But I also am stupid and forgot to put Vancouver. So the only way for me to do it again would be to cancel my already one I put in there and then start over. So I can only get a chance to get Seattle tickets. I'm not going to get a chance to get Vancouver tickets, unfortunately.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
You said which, I mean, maybe they'll give you other options, but when you signed up, you said which locations you were interested in.
Yeah, and you could select multiple ones.
Yeah, yeah. And I just selected Seattle. I don't know. I mean, I do know what I was thinking. I was not, because I was busy being on a podcast, but...
Okay. Yeah, but yeah. I'm interested in Seattle, Toronto, Vancouver, and Mexico City. So...
Nice, nice.
But, so, back to the game.
Sounders come out looking like world beaters again.
Yeah.
Dominate play for the first 5 minutes, almost score a goal, and then do score a goal. Was that about fifth minute?
Yep.
When Danny, running down the right side of the box, sees Jesus running behind him, and basically 2-on-1, like, it's a FIFA on beginner goal.
Well,
like we had two of those.
We had
like
a couple. The second one was the same. But don't lay off on Alex rolled on, starts us off.
Oh, the pass
he
up.
Well, he intercepts a pass around the Galaxy's final third. Like Galaxy are trying to enter our final third. He intercepts, takes a few touches up to midfield, and puts a beautiful through ball to Danny, springing him. Danny going 1v1 with the last CB. You've got... in the middle of that through ball, one of Galaxy's CBs tries to make a sliding tackle to block it, which brings Jesus Ferreira as the first player for any potential pass, and he takes advantage of that. So just really well done.
Right down the middle of the field.
Really well done. So then we do score again in the 44th. However, the 41st minute. However, before that, we had two huge chances. In the 35th minute, Reed Baker Whiting puts in a great ball to Rothrock, and Rothrock's all alone against the keeper. Mitrovic makes a good kick save. It's like and Rothrock. I mean, he put a good shot in. Just sometimes keeper makes a save. 2 minutes later, Danny's 1v1 against Mitrovic again. Danny showing a burst of speed that I didn't see. Like he made that burst from well outside the box. Mitrovic comes way out of his net to make that save. That was one of his seven saves on the night.
What was interesting, though, is prior to that, when we actually scored the second goal, that game felt very much like we took our foot off the gas pedal to me after we scored the first goal, and LA dominated most of that game until which happens. We have times where we're not in possession, but they looked like the better team after that goal. They were the ones who went, okay, if we lose, we are knocked out of, we're eliminated from the playoffs. We have to play for our lives. And they did. And they looked much better than us, even though we kept having these really good chances, mainly because their defense is so poor.
You know, it's tough to tell on that because the first half was interesting. Like we gave up a lot of possession in that first half, but then we got some really good quality scoring chances.
Yeah.
Like,
but as usual, this is where you and I always differ. You view that as a positive. I view it as just another game where we have left 4 to 5 goals on the table.
I would rather get many opportunities to score and convert on a lower percentage than to get few opportunities to score and convert on a higher percentage. More chances.
Yes, but to me, in the end, it makes no difference. They didn't go in.
Well,
the score's a score.
Well, like, our XG in the game was 3.47 to 1.77. But again, I think both of those opportunities in the 35th and the 37th minute were definitely what I would call big chances.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, I hate to say this because Danny's been so good this year, but we come to expect Moose not to make a one-on-one shot like that because he hasn't all season long. His goals have been more...
putting himself in good positions for the finishes,
right.
Yeah.
Right, not being
again the Wondolowski comparison. Doing the hard work to get into the good spots.
And Rothrock, you expect him to put that in, although he didn't against Miami in the first. He had that chance in the first before he later came back and scored. I think I do expect Rothrock to put that in.
I don't know
about that specific one. I mean, in general.
Yeah, I get it. But let's talk about the second goal. Second goal, 41st minute. Vargas does a nice 1-2 with, I'm not entirely sure. It might have been Christian. I'm not sure who, but does a nice give and go. And then he sends Rothrock into the box with a nice pass, and Rothrock just squares it dead center to a wide open Danny. There's no goalie in front of him. He's got literally the entire net. It's literally FIFA on beginner, where you get the goalie to draw out to challenge you, and then, oh, I guess I'll just pass it straight across. Yeah. You know, it was just very nice.
Yep. And you know, they told me on News Across the Galaxy that the defense was bad, but I was not expecting it to be that bad. Like, those were and what Edgar said when we were talking about it during the game is the defense for the Galaxy has been that bad for years, maybe a decade. It's just they usually score a lot of goals to make up for it.
Yeah. I think that's fair. It definitely was one of those things where I got out at halftime. We haven't even gotten to halftime. Let's get to halftime. Yeah. 2 minutes later, LA Galaxy scores on a set piece.
I think the foul felt, I think I'm getting my goals mixed up. But the foul, that was a foul that felt a little soft for me, but I still think the Sounders should have stopped that. Like, that was bad defensive marking.
Yeah, they allowed Yoshida to get to the ball first on that looping cross, and it wasn't great.
No. And it's something we've come to, I think, we've come to not expect, but experience from the Sounders quite a bit, where there's just these, you watch throughout a game, just perfect defending for 99% of that game, right? But then there's just these individual errors that they'll make where you're just like, huh, that was a boneheaded play. And I don't know what it is, but we've seen it more from players this year than we don't usually expect it from. I think that was that Reed that time, though?
On the second goal, the one who was supposed to be marking him?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I can't remember who it was that time, but it's just a thing where 2-1, though, I hate it because it feels like the Sounders were the far better team, but it gave LA that hope they needed.
Yeah, going into halftime, it was like, okay, we're definitely getting a lot of chances. We're getting a lot of offense. And that's been a big part of the team since the Club World Cup is that we've been scoring at ridiculous levels.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I definitely don't want to lose sight of that. That's really important there.
I mean, to me though, we didn't look dangerous like we have in every other game. In that first half, we looked compared to the other. My comparison is to what the Sounders looked like before. So I'm not comparing it to other teams in the league. This team looked pedestrian compared to when they're firing on all cylinders.
And
not having Pedro out there was rough. It showed.
I will say real quick, just the cross on the second on the first goal for the Galaxy. Jackson's taking the near post guy. Obed and Alex are on the other side of Fry's, so are covering his back door. And the ball comes up. There's two potential Galaxy members who can get to it, and they get beat to it. Alex gets beat on that, unfortunately, because he was having a pretty good game in a lot of ways. So we get to the halftime. We get out to the second half, and right away, 51st minute, Rothrock scores on a header, called back for offsides. I think looking at the replay, the frustrating part there is if he lets that go, if he ignores that, realizes, oh, I did not get back, and he was nowhere near being onside. But if he lets that go, Reed's behind him, ready to get a opportunity. It's not a clear goal because of the angle, but definitely in a really high, big chance scoring position.
And he was clearly offside, no question. Yeah. Like there's, but yes, you're right.
78th minute, Alex gets a great play to jump a pass. He beats the Galaxy defender in the air, and the way he heads it down, he heads it to the center to himself, and he basically gets dead center, gets a somewhat weak shot off, but the rebound comes out anyways, and it just doesn't go to where it needs to go. So that was a little bit of a bummer. Another highlight later on in the 81st minute, right after we bring on Jordan Morris. We also brought on Albert Rusnak, so we had some good appearances from some of our players that haven't had a chance to play recently, so that was very, very positive. But Georgi Manungu gets a bike attempt in the 81st, and that was like...
Would have been legendary up there with, was it Patty Ianni who did it for the Sounders back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite nice.
Yeah, that was so close. It would have been fun.
Yeah. And then their second goal, 87th minute. It's just a broken play. Yeah. It's just a broken play where it's a pub league chaos ball.
Yeah. That's why you run at them. I mean, I got an assist today on that. I kicked it into the box. It bounced around and my forward picked it up and kicked it in. That's why you kick it into the box.
And the worst part is that basically from the 52nd to that moment, to the 87th, LA did nothing. I mean, we just had everything. Like the first half, we were up 2-1. But LA actually had quite a bit of possession in that first half. First half, they actually outpossessed us 51-49. They got 10 shots, 4 on target. We got 6 shots, 5 on target. We had 4 big chances and missed 2.
At one point though, they had, like 8 shots and we had like 2. Yeah. Like they were until the end of the first half, they were dominating the run of play for a little bit there. In a team that is last in the West, and I hate playing down to those teams' levels, but also, they had a roster that was not their regular starting roster. They had young players in there who were hungry and wanted a chance.
Well, that's exactly it, because they're at a spot of the season where they're thinking about next season. So they're
unlimited.
So they are playing the kids to see, hey, are we going to keep you for next season? This is your chance to showcase what you've got, because we've got roster decisions to make at the end of the season. So of course they're going to come out hungry. But then the second half is a complete flip. We kind of recognize and weather their breaks. And then we've got possession for 67% of the second half. We've got 13 shots to their 5. The big difference though is that we didn't get any big chances in the second half. It's like, so we just struggled a little bit to get that flow going. Yeah, so overall, I'm not angry about the game, I don't think. I think it's 2 points that we could have had, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, some people are like, oh, we got to bench Steph and Fry because
I agree 1,000%. They're not going to, but Andy's better. I don't think they probably should, because of the message it sends to the team.
I don't think
Fry's the captain, but
if I
Fry on that one goal, Fry should have known where the way the ball went over the top of the box, he should have known that was the only place that ball could have gone in. I mean, he should have been trying to get that. I love Steph, and I think that he has earned the chance to start. I do not think he's the best goalie on our team anymore.
I think that the difference between Fry and Thomas is not large enough to cost you points. I don't. But going back,
I could agree with that. But
the
it cost us 2 points in that game.
I
think the message to the team that it sends maybe costs more points.
Yes, I don't think it costs us points today. I don't think that the two.
I mean, I think he also cost us points in the Minnesota game. I think we've dropped 3 points now because of Fry. And I don't necessarily think it's his fault. I think that he's not at full speed yet. This is why I want to know, and I will ask next time I see Craig, why we don't send players coming back from injury down to Tacoma to get some real-time game action so they can get into full speed.
Because we have in the past.
Have we for injured players? Yeah.
Roman Torres, Will Bruin have played in for Tacoma for one game.
We'd love to see Steph be down there and to get back into full, because he's played two games in the last, six, 8 weeks, something like that, maybe longer. So, I mean, I think it's just I don't think that he's a liability out there. I just think he's not at full speed.
Yeah, I really hesitate to talk much more about this because I really don't want to manifest a goalkeeping controversy because I don't think there is one.
I don't think there is one either, but it's also why, I mean, to me, that's a totally different thing, right? Like, I also don't think there's a number nine controversy, but I think there should be. I think Danny should be starting over Morris.
I don't know. I mean, right now he is. Yep. Right now he is. But you also have a game on Saturday, a game on Tuesday. So you're managing minutes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Especially that's weird having a game on Tuesday after a Saturday game.
That is a lot weird if I'm being completely honest. But at least Orlando, or at least Miami also had a game. Yeah. So that's good. By the way, Miami got smoked 3-0. They also had Lionel Messi miss a penalty. They also had Tomas Alviles get two yellow cards. So he is out against us. So yet another one.
I mean, Messi looked great for Argentina. So it's interesting that he's come back and looked poor again for Miami.
Well, it's funny because I mentioned last game that the Sounders, in the last 50 games that Messi has played, the Sounders held him to his third lowest rating in the last 50 games, all competitions. Right. And what's interesting about that is the second lowest was a game against New York City FC back in last September. The lowest was against Cincinnati in July, a 3-0 loss. Last night's game, he was a 6.0, which is 0.1 lower than against us. So three of his four lowest games in his last 50 have been within the last month.
Interesting. Now, we'll talk more about Miami in a second, but I do want to finish up on this LA Galaxy where, to me, I'm hoping this is an anomaly. I'm not saying the Sounders are going to be this team moving forward, but they looked like a fifth place team in that game versus LA. And that's going to be our positioning based on LAFC's game in hand. So, I mean, LAFC looks incredible. Major FOMO on Sun because he continues to play well. And to go in and score three goals in 17 minutes in San Jose, a team that's been playing well lately, is pretty rough on San Jose. San Jose, of course, then answered in like the 19th minute, made it 3-1. But that's all negative things. Let's talk about positive things, because if the Sounders can get back to how they've been since the Club World Cup, this is one of the best teams in the MLS, and the numbers bear that out.
Again, we only lost one game since Club World Cup ended, and that was in June.
Yep. And so
in September,
Sounders. I just read these numbers a second ago. Blah blah blah. So Sounders, only two defeats at home in the regular seasons occurred when they gave up the opening goal. And they have, looking at it, since exiting the Club World Cup in June, the Rave Green have suffered just one loss in their last 16 competitive features, which was the 1-0 Minnesota loss you're talking about. and they are unbeaten in their previous 5 matches across all competitions and have points in 13 of their last 15 matches. More importantly, this is the third time we've played Miami in history, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the score was in the Leagues Cup final?
3-0.
Do you remember what the score was the other time we played down there?
I don't.
I don't either, but they didn't score any goals. So,
because last time we played, the first time we played them, they beat us. Oh, that was in Seattle.
That was in Seattle.
But they beat us because we were in the middle of our Champions League run, and literally we didn't play single starter.
This is our first visit to Fort Lauderdale.
Gotcha.
Now, but so we've never conceded a goal against them in our previous ones, according to sportsmole.co.uk. So Miami's in all competitions is win, win, draw, win, loss, loss. And we are win, draw, win, loss, win, draw. So Sounders definitely looking better, especially when you look across all competitions where we're loss, win, 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 draw. We should see the return of Pedro de la Vega.
He traveled, yeah.
Yep. João Paulo, I believe, also traveled. Is that right?
That might have been a reward for, hey, you want to go to Miami for a day?
Yeah, yeah. And so we very well could see a mostly full lineup, depending on who they want to start up top. I mean, I think we will probably see all 4 at the back. They already rotated for LA Galaxy, so you're going to see probably Ferreira on the right, Rusnak in the center, and Pedro on the left, and then whoever's up top. What are you feeling in terms of where Jesus Ferreira should play? I mean, to me, this is an interesting debate. I don't see what Schmetzer sees in him on the right. I think once he was on the right in the second half there, when they moved him over, once Rusnak came on, he looked pretty ineffectual. He's been fantastic at center attacking mid. And I think the drop off from Rusnak to Jesus, I think Rusnak is better at both positions, but I think the drop off from Rusnak to Jesus at center attacking mid is less than at right mid. And so I actually would be interested in seeing Rusnak on the right and Jesus at center attacking mid. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I don't know if that's completely fair. I mean, Albert comes on in the 59th minute for Kosa Rienzi. Knew who comes on at the same time for Reed Baker Whiting. So right there, you're changing up your changing up your dynamic a little bit. You're losing a little bit of offense by pulling.
Oh, sure. But I think Rusnak, I just think Jesus he doesn't wow me on the right. He's not doing Paul Rothrock things. He's not doing Gabriel Peck things. He's not doing Pansel things. He's not doing Georgie things. So
I don't know. I feel like he's creating a lot of opportunities. I think he is
a center attacking mid. I think he's not. I don't see that when he's on the right though. This last match,
I think my ideal lineup has Jesus on the right, Albert on the center, and Pedro on the left. That's my ideal band of 3.
I mean, I think that's what they're going to do for sure.
But you don't. You think it's Rothrock over Jesus, or you think that?
Yeah, I think I would start Rothrock over Jesus.
So you think Jesus starts on the bench?
Yeah, I think that's what I would do at present, just based on how they're playing. I mean, it's a rough decision though. I think at the center attacking mid, Jesus has been fantastic and has been a major reason why this team has been so dangerous on offense.
I mean, it's really something that we have these spoiled choice. That's where the depth, when we're healthy, that's where the depth comes in. And that's always been one of the things of, oh man, when we're healthy, Brian's going to have decisions to make. He's got decisions to make, but I think we're going to have moments of, okay, well, we got short week this week. So, sure. So that's going to
help. There's not that many games left. We're coming down the stretch here. We have what, six games left?
Yeah.
Maybe 7? I think it's only 6 though. And we got some big ones. I mean, we've got a chance. We play Miami, we play Vancouver, we play Portland. and then three others. But
I mean, we still have a Cascadia Cup on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think all three of those games that we could easily win, and there are three games we could easily lose, because I think you have to throw out record and skill out the window in all three of those games. Because Messi could have some Messi magic out of nowhere, you know that. Vancouver is incredible. They look what they just did to Philly this weekend. They just absolutely demolished them. And Portland just seems to always have our number, except for when they don't. But
you know, I appreciated your appearance on the LA Galaxy podcast, and it was really interesting to kind of hear your take on teams you don't want to play in the playoffs. Spoiler alert, it's Portland.
We've never beat Portland in the playoffs, right? At least not as an MLS team. I don't think we have. I think they've beaten us the few times we've matched up against them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Right now, I think we're still a point ahead of LAFC, so we would be hosting LAFC. I mean, it's a home and away, but we would be the technical home field advantage for that.
We've only met the Timbers in the playoffs once.
Oh, I thought it was twice. We had the one crazy one that was the
Was that
home and away where they thought that they had won it?
That was the car show game. That was 2018. Yeah.
And then I thought we had one other, but maybe we didn't.
Well, maybe was that Mexico when I was in Mexico? That was the Charlie Joseph game.
Yeah, that was yeah.
Was that playoffs?
Yeah, that was playoffs. Yeah, because we lost here, and then had to go down there and play.
Yeah,
I remember my friend who was from Olympia was rooting for Portland, and I wouldn't have brought him to the game with me if I'd known that was going to happen.
Yeah, we played them four times in the playoffs. So the car show games, and then the 2013 conference semifinals.
Yeah. So I'd rather not play them if we can.
No, I. You know what? Fuck that. I want them because they're so cocky. No, last year we took care of our LAFC boogeyman. This year, fuck them. Let's take them out in the first round and just destroy their asses, and then leave them crying after crashing out 5-0 against Vancouver 1 year, and then the next year just getting smoked by us.
Yeah, 5-0 again in two straight games, because I think it's a home and away. That I don't know if it's the first round or the second round, right?
They change their format every time, right?
So they have the play-in game, the 8-9 play-in game, and I don't know if that counts as a round or not.
You know, tell them it's the 8-9 play-in game. We'll win the first leg, and then they won't show up for the second leg because they'll think it was a one-game series, and they're just, you know.
Good times.
You know, just going to be one guy on the Timbers trying to on the field looking around for his teammates and counting 1, 2, 3. You know, it'll be great.
Well, you need to go to sleep.
I do.
Because you have a few more weeks of working night shift.
I do, but those days are ending. Those days are ending. I have
very exciting,
very good news. I'm getting back into career mode and getting back into a normal office hours, so that'll free up a lot of flexibility for us. I think that'll be good for everything. Although I do believe there was a good comment. I don't think I'm gonna be able to find it on the fly, but there was a comment about Paul, shout out to Paul, who was saying, I think this was indeed talking about Aaron, not about me, but sorry, but you have to sign off every episode with a sleepy, sloppy, drunk declaration of your love for everyone now.
Oh yeah, that was talking about Aaron, but you know what? That can talk about you too.
It could have been about you. Wait, Bono or The Edge or Adam Clayton? Which member? Which member of you two?
Adam Clayton, because we don't talk about the other jerks. Okay,
fair enough.
Who
am I missing? Larry Mullins. There we go. Oh,
they put a
are
song,
you on your iPod?
Put the whole album. Yeah.
Wow, you're still bitter about that. All right.
I mean, shout out to everyone who's been active on the Discord. Of course, come join us there.
Episodes release a day early, ad free. So
yeah, on Patreon. But you know what? They don't. This one won't, because
we are going to put it up. Yeah.
Yeah, because of the game. But usually that's the case. And there's some other fun stuff coming there. Join the Discord, talk to us. It's all, it's all good times. The Ultras apparently said I was a big Liverpool supporter on their episode.
They did.
Recorded by themselves.
I did. I heard that. It was good. Good shout out for that. They're having some fun. I think they did a good job of moving the conversation through the episode. So shout out to them on that. Fun times.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to leave with you telling me what you think the Miami versus Seattle score is going to be.
Well, there's not going to be any Luis Suarez. There's not going to be any Avilés. And he was a big part of that League's Cup final. So that's going to be interesting there because they suck defensively. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to say it other than they suck defensively. And I feel like he didn't start in the League's Cup final. But I thought he was someone that probably should have. So I don't know. I feel like that's only going to be good for us. This is really interesting because Miami obviously crashes out against us in League's Cup and get into a fight. They got just worked in their last game against Charlotte. So they've lost their last two games, 3-0, 3-0.
Yeah. I mean, I think little League's Cup hangover maybe for both of us.
It also could be that they are just blowing up. Like, it could be a situation where you have the haves and the have-nots. You have the Messi, DePaul, Busquets, Albas, and then everyone else. And it's like, people might be getting tired of the narrative. I don't know, but I'm here for the drama. And honestly, there's not, outside of a 7-0 Cruz Azul ass kicking, there's not really a result that it's house money. We're traveling cross country, short rest. Play who you think you want to play and let's go with this. This could be a game where Brian Schmetzer rewards some players with some playing time, people that maybe haven't gotten to play in League's Cup. I don't know if I see Jordan Morris starting.
It might be too soon. I know Schmetz doesn't like rushing players back generally.
And he got some time, as did Albert, but I have a feeling Albert is more likely to get a start in this game.
Yeah, I think so. I could see both of them going 45, but the opposite 45.
Well, the other side about that is that in both positions, you've got people waiting in the wings that can play those roles.
Yeah,
you got Osaze, you've got Danny for Jordan, you've got Danny Leyva, you've got Jesus Ferreira for Albert. So this is the time of year, as we get healthy, where it's going to be really interesting to see how Brian Schmetzer manages this team. And I'm here for it. So let's fucking go. My prediction on this one, this is really maybe the toughest prediction because we really don't know what our lineup's going to look like.
Yeah.
So I just don't believe that Miami I do believe the narrative that Miami's going to come in hard because they're still frustrated. But I think that may bite them in the ass. And I think they may get a red in this game.
Ooh, I'd like that.
But it might also be one of those situations where we see Miami with a red and they somehow play better. Because yeah, maybe
why does it always happen to the Sounders?
Well, with Miami, it's almost like, well, then, you know, teams get a little too offensive in a way where they shirk their defensive responsibilities, and that opens up Messi to do something. With all that said, I think we're going to get a 2-1 victory on this one. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously been struggling. I think Messi still shows that he's a brilliant player. Maybe he just doesn't have it every game. If you watch the first of those Argentina matches, he was offsides for the other goal. He easily could have had a hat trick in that one. So I don't think you can count him out. I do think Schmetzer already rotated the squad in anticipation of playing at Miami. So I think they're going to come. I think Miami's going to come in a little hungrier. But the Sounders, I think, will hold on and it'll be a 2-2 draw. I just think I can't count Miami out until they're officially counted out, right? And we're going there. Sounders, it's been a while to me since the Sounders have looked good on the road, where we are a dominating, fun team to watch at home generally.
Are you forgetting the LA Galaxy home away game?
That's the LA Galaxy, though. They're garbage.
All right.
Which is why this last game was so painful. LA Galaxy is literally the worst team in the league.
But you're thinking a ballerina game?
I'm going 2-2.
The ballerina game.
Yeah. So I just until Miami's going to come in wanting to prove something, and I think we're good enough to prevent them from winning. But also I think they could go crazy, like you said, and fall off and get a card and change it into our favor. I think the Sounders could also get punched in the mouth, and it's going to have to see how we react. So, and I mean figuratively, not literally, because we already know Obed just kind of laughs and points because he's the man.
I mean, someone compared that like Real Housewives meme where the lady's pointing at the cat. The cat's got, I don't even know what the origin of that actually is.
It's actually a really messed up thing. So it's stupid to me that the internet took this, like that lady had every right to be mad. And it makes me sad that she got turned into a joke because she was right in that situation. But I know exactly the meme you're talking about.
But that photo of Suarez angry at him and Obed laughing and pointing, it's very much, it's the personification of that.
It's so great. Good. So great. So
good.
Well, this has been a Sounder Scuttlebutt. Where can they find you on the internet?
You know, come on out to Instagram, where I'm at Cascades2C, or come join me on Blue Sky, where I'm simply Nicholas. Not simply Nicholas. I am Nicholas.
You're Nicholas.
Nicholas.bsky.app, whatever that is. But yeah. What about you, Mr. By the way, everyone seems to be having so much fun hearing about your Twitter issues. Everyone's just dunking on you.
Well, it's very frustrating considering that's my main news source. For better or worse, meaning like I didn't remember that we had to sign up for the Visa presale because that's where I would have found out about it. So I'm not getting proper information, but you can get me on the two you talked about, Blue Sky and Instagram at Legal Minded Punk. And maybe one day I'll be on X again. But as far as I'm concerned, this has just proven what a ridiculous platform it is that I was the victim. And in the end, I'm still getting fucked by X.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can get me there. Join the
Patreon. Is it John Doe?
No.
Wrong member of X?
Yeah, not Xine. that John Doe is the John Doe, right?
Yeah. The member of X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen them before.
You did not get fucked by John Doe.
I did not.
Okay, just checking.
I did not. join the Patreon, join the Discord, give us 5 stars wherever you listen. You go get some rest. Have dreams of me and John Doe. And we will see everybody next time.
Oh, God.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.